This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Recently, Texas took a step forward towards teaching ethnic studies courses at public schools across the state. The State Board of Education voting 11-3 to create institutional instructional material for such classes. Activists had pushed since November for the Texas State Board of Education to create a statewide Mexican American studies curriculum. Instead, a more modest measure mandates the adoption of textbooks for elected classes on Mexican American studies, African American studies, Native American studies, and Asian American studies, and these courses will be developed locally. What do you think about these new ethnic studies courses in Texas public schools? Do you think Texas needs to rethink how it teaches cultural and in culture in schools? Or are you Latino and do you think that you would have benefited from a Mexican-American studies course when you were in high school? Or do you disagree with the new course curriculum? Call up and tell us why. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, George W. Noblet. He is a professor of sociology of education at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And Juan Tejeda, he is a professor at Palo Alto College, where he runs the new Mexican American Studies program. Welcome to The Source, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Juan, it seemed to me like this happened very rapidly. For a while, I've heard talk like, why doesn't Texas have these types of courses, Mexican-American studies courses in our public schools, particularly when there was talk about efforts in Arizona to tap down on their teaching. And then suddenly, it almost seemed very rapidly that these were adapted. Were you kind of astonished by how quickly this moved in Texas?
Yes and no. I mean, this is this campaign that recently culminated last week in the board by the Texas and the vote by the Texas State Board of Education is really a continuation of probably about 50 years of struggle or more. You're beginning with desegregation here in cases in Texas and walkouts during the civil rights movement for education and Mexican-American studies and Mexican-American studies teachers, and the Edgewood, you know, school district versus the state of Texas that deemed that education in Texas, the public education system here, was unequal and unequally funded. So I see this just a continuation of all of these struggles, and many organizations and individuals have been involved in this. But it was interesting that the vote that happened, because we were trying to focus on getting a course developed, right, and we backed up the representative on the SBOE from the Valley, Ruben Cortez, who said, let's at least get a course, right, a high school course. And what ended up happening, as you said earlier, was that the board then voted to begin developing textbooks and instructional materials for all of these different ethnic studies groups. So we see it as a win. And in a sense, it was surprising, but it's a continuation of a long struggle.
Professor Noblet, talk about the benefit for students minority students who would take these ethnic courses, these ethnic studies courses, and how this would influence them and maybe, you know, curb the dropout rate or something like that.
Well, I think there are a couple of major effects. First, of course, having knowledge of your own heritage is absolutely essential, which is why we have social studies courses in general. Secondly, I think it's important for all students, not just Mexican-American students or African-American students or white students, but all students to know that there are varied histories and that they intersect. And as, of course, the common adage, of course, is that history is told by the winner. Mm-hmm. So the idea that there are multiple histories or there are multiple experiences in this country, I think, are very important for all students to understand, because they are part of our society and we will all be interacting for the future. There are, however, really important effects on students of color to have courses on Mexican American history or Mexican American ethnic studies or however they're framed, because we now know that racial identity and positive racial identity, and I'll speak in a second about what I mean by that, really has a positive effect on learning. And students who have a positive racial identity this transfers over into other kinds of achievements. So what do I mean by positive racial identity? There's considerable research on looking at African-American or Latino students and saying, ah, if we acknowledge first that they're part of our national story and they're part of our experience and part of our neighborhoods, and two, that these students understand that racism, sexism, discrimination and prejudice are part of their story to today, that then students can choose to engage in schools in such a way to make that history not as true. So that is, that it has effects on achievement that we don't get when we don't talk about that. So being explicit about racism, being explicit about how that's affected one's people's history, then has dramatic effects on mathematics achievement and reading achievement. So there's both this knowledge of having of one's history that's important and how it relates to other histories in our nation that's important just to have, and secondly, it has really strong effects on learning more generally.
All right, let's go to the phones. Jessica has called in. Our phone line is 614-8980. Jessica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling to say that I'm really excited that this has been, this curriculum has been added to Texas schools. I grew up in San Antonio. I believe it would have been incredibly beneficial, especially now since there are course levels at the college level being offered, and that's something I would like to pursue. It creates a really great self-awareness and self-respect. If these younger people understand where their cultures have come from, then they can be able to understand and respect it and respect themselves as well.
Okay, Jessica, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. So Awanda seems like she would be someone who may sign up for one of your classes.
Yeah, and we have some really good classes there at Palo Alto College. And by the way, not just Chicanos or Mexican-Americans take these courses. I have African-Americans. I have whites that take this course, Asian-Americans, other people from Latin America that have taken these courses and really benefit significantly from these courses. And I just want to echo what the professor said from Carolina, that there are various studies that directly point to the link between academic educational success and satisfaction with a positive self-image and knowledge of one's cultural identity and history. And that's why we're pushing so hard right now, that it's important now that we are the majority of school-age children in Texas, right? Mexican-Americans are. That we need them to succeed in school if we're going to make Texas succeed, right?
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the new ethnic studies courses that were approved by the Texas State Board of Education recently by a vote of 11-3. What does this mean? What shape will they take? How will this impact our students and our schools? We invite your phone calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Recently, the State Board of Education in Texas ducked a vote to adopt a standalone Mexican-American studies course for high school students, but instead it adopted a more broad-ranged multicultural studies, Mexican-American studies, African-American studies, Asian-American studies, Native American studies, but they're also making these very local. There's not going to be a statewide curriculum, and this has, I guess it could be called a mixed bag, but everyone seems to be celebrating this achievement and this step forward, at least some of the experts that we have on the air with us right now. With us, we have George W. Noblet. He is a professor of sociology of education at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and also Juan Tejeda. He's a professor at Palo Alto College, where he runs the new Mexican-American Studies program there. So, Professor Noblet, why isn't just the regular teaching of history that we get, why isn't that enough?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have to understand that what we teach in the public schools is a highly regulated history. Textbooks are marketed for large markets, and they have to satisfy a whole range of interests. So when you have a course that just says social studies or history in general, and it's a concern I have about the Texas policy, is that how these textbooks are written is really important. One of the reasons that we don't have these courses is, as I think we see in Arizona, people are afraid of them. And I think what we have to be able to say to each other is these courses are absolutely essential for the success of our students, and that they're, as Professor Tejeda was saying, they're for all of our students. All of our students will learn and gain from being part of a wider conversation about the history and the nature of our society.
We saw at the Tucson Independent School District, where they had a very successful Mexican-American studies program, that their dropout rate, you know, dwindled down practically to nothing, right, Juan?
The people that, students, high school students that took the course, the Mexican-American studies course there, were graduating from high school and going on to college at, I heard, 93-94% rate, which was incredible considering the dropout rate that still exists within our public school systems.
Okay, we got a bunch of calls. Let's get some of these on the air. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. Hey, I have a question. Why not make one textbook honest about all ethnic groups rather than write a book about Spanish Americans, which is going to, you know, say one story, and then you're going to do an American white book that's going to have a different story. So when everybody gets together, you don't have the same story. And all we really need is honesty to respect all ethnic groups that have contributed to our history. So rather than Columbus sailed the ocean blue, why not? Let's just tell the whole truth and have one commission across the state to agree on what really, really happened over our history,
okay,
rather than have a bunch of different ones.
All right, John, thanks for that call. We appreciate you calling in and raising that point. So, Professor Noblet, do these different courses, do they vary? Is it or is it still the same history?
Well, there's something very positive about the sentiment that we would be able to create a textbook that had all of our stories in it. My concern with that is that the stories do not lead to a single history. There are multiple histories in this country, and I think that's what actually makes us stronger, right? It's the multiple histories, the struggles that people go through to actually make a life in the United States. So to the extent to which we would have one text that would have all those stories in there, then, or all those histories or all those depictions of life, then that would be fine. What we find in the history of textbook construction, though, is that the compromises to come up with a book kind of goes against getting the diversity of stories represented well. Now, I can, you know, as a person who writes books, I can say I think you can do that, but it's very hard to move it through any kind of public textbook approval process, mm-hmm, when people object to some kinds of stories, right? So, as the caller said, I really wish that one textbook would be possible. I guess I'm just a little, I'm not optimistic that the textbook approval process would produce the kind of text that he seems to be interested in.
All right, let's get Clayton on the air. Clayton is called in. Welcome to The Source. Clayton, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. And I concur with the previous caller. I think putting all people of color on one side and anybody with paler skin on the other is not a good idea. We are all immigrants. We have all been discriminated against at one time or another in our history. And it kind of seems to put all people with quote-unquote white skin in the same category and assumes that they have the same culture. And we all know after World War II that people with white skin don't all have the same culture.
All right, Clayton. So that's, you bring up an interesting point. Maybe people should learn about that history as well. I know that as an Anglo, people call me an Anglo, but actually the Anglos were the ones that oppressed my people, mm-hmm, you know, many years, generations ago back in Europe. So that's, you know, but we don't think about that. But back to his point about learning about ethnic studies, and are we dividing people, Juan?
Well, that's interesting because the history and the courses that we've been taught throughout the history of the United States has been basically a white history. But people don't think that this is ethnic studies when they teach white history, but once we start asking for our stories, our indigenous, you know, Chicano, Mexican American, African American stories to be told, then they start clamoring about, you know, well, why can't we just have everybody, you know, one textbook and represent everybody equally? They've had that chance. The problem is that all stories have not been told in our history and our literature courses. Our stories have not been told, and that's why we need separate courses.
Well, what about
textbooks?
What about, you know, trying to excite the students? I mean, if we kind of get into just get one book and get everything in there, are we losing the focus of trying to excite students about learning because we're too involved in making one book work?
Why do we just need one book? There are a lot of books. As the professor said, Mr. Noblet said over there, we have all these different perspectives, all these different stories that have contributed to Texas and U.S. history, and we need to hear all of these voices. And I think it takes more than just one book to tell all of these stories.
All right, let's get Betty on the line. She's called in. Betty, welcome to The Source. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm 71 years old, and when I was in school, I learned a lot about one part of my family because I had relatives who came over on the Mayflower. On the other side of my family, however, I already had relatives who were living in the Delaware Valley who were part of an Indian tribe, and I never heard a word about them. In fact, we were told not to tell people that. I would love to have learned more about my Native American family, and I regret to this day that I was not able to do that.
Okay, Betty, thank you for calling in and sharing your story. Juan, what do you think when you hear that?
I think she's exactly right. You know, I don't think that a true and accurate story has been told about the American Indians here in the United States and what happened to them. It's very simple. The stories we get earlier is how the West was won, but if you look at it from the indigenous Native American perspective, it's how the West was lost, and we have to hear these stories.
All right, let's get another caller on the air. Our phone line is 614-8980. Mark has called in. Mark, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question, I guess somewhat in the same vein as some of the previous questions. First, I totally agree that it's probably impractical to have everything included in one book, and I think there's value in seeing multiple perspectives. I think there's also great value in motivating people to become more academically successful through understanding their own heritage, et cetera. My concern is, from a Caucasian standpoint, that I don't feel like there's nearly the same focus when it comes to ethnicity and race when we talk about quote-unquote white history. It's never really focused on in the same light that it is with minorities, which I don't think is necessarily good or bad, but I think it's an inconsistency that has a potential for creating some more division, as you alluded to before.
Okay, Mark, thank you for your call. Professor Noblet, what do you think about getting more in depth with teaching, you know, all the different shades of white history?
I actually couldn't agree more. We don't really teach much about social class struggles and among Anglos or among white immigrants, or maybe we should put more appropriately European immigrants, because mm-hmm. who is white varies by time in our country. And we see that, for example, how Italians were treated at a different point in time, even Irish, if you would.
Caucasian, calling yourself a Caucasian, what does that even mean? Are you from the Caucasus? You know,
right.
Probably not.
Euphemism. That's right. And it's a euphemism that writes over difference in very important ways. I know Professor Tejeda plays music from a Chicano tradition, a folk music of sorts. I also play a folk music about a group of people that people denigrate as hillbillies, which are largely white, not solely white, but largely white. But we don't really talk about how is it that they got characterized as a backwards people either, right? So I think really looking at how white history is portrayed would be a key part of this curriculum, right? Not only do we want better books first to have books available for Mexican American history or African American history, but we would want a more complex. Let's say I'm not sure about how. When we start saying truer, we usually want to select which facts. So I'm going to say a more complex history
of white immigrants or European immigrants. I think we have to be careful about how we talk about that as well.
Okay, I'm going to get another caller on the air because Dorothy is here. Dorothy, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm excited about having this opportunity for Hispanic or Mexican Americans to be able to get some positive feedback of their heritage. But being that we, my family was military, I just have to say that it was wonderful traveling and living in you know, like West Point Academy, et cetera. And our children, while not sure that there were prejudices, but they really learned how to get along with others. And when we came back to Texas to visit family, it's like their ears would burn because they would hear the words like hillbilly, honky, wetback, and they were like, oh, my gosh, and the N-word. So, you know, there are environments where I think equality is taught, and I'm not sure exactly how to bring that to the classroom, being that this is Texas, and, and you know, you're going to have a board or that will put some information together.
Okay, Dorothy, thank you for your call. We appreciate you raised some interesting questions. We don't have enough time to get into it because there's not going to be a statewide curriculum. It's going to be very localized. And I know, Juan, over you worked at Palo Alto, that you are creating – you have your curriculum, your studies. Maybe you can work with local school districts to develop theirs.
And we are. And, in fact, these courses need to be developed by the local school districts. And
it's going to take a community effort.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this story is not over. We're going to keep going on this, and we'll bring this up again as things progress. I want to thank both our guests. We've got Juan Tejeda, professor of Palo Alto College, and also Mexican-American Studies, Cultural Identity Success, with George W. Noblet, PhD. This is The Source on KSTX.